At long last, game week is here. Ohio State and Texas on Saturday. It is a Monday on the beat. This is the Austin Berm Show. I am Austin. He is Berm. And we finally get to see the Buckeyes begin the attack of their defense of the national championship this weekend, Berm. I think I can speak for both of us. I'm very, very relieved that the season is here.
It feels like the shortest offseason in history and also somehow the longest like couple of weeks in history, because when football season began with the Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas, which was only a month ago, and it feels like it was 10 years ago.
No, that was 3 years ago. There's no way.
So here we are. I'm glad it's here. It was a nice little appetizer this weekend on the college football slate. Very entertaining game, at least between Iowa State and Kansas State. I'm not sure if, you know, we talked about it on Friday. Did you watch it or not?
Yeah, I watched it. And I think it's a useful reminder. Now, there are a lot of factors that made that game as ugly as it was at times, weather, travel. But week one is difficult. There is rust. You don't have an NFL style preseason to get ready for the physicality of the game and the execution and the speed and all that. You're going to see a lot more games like that. And I think that is also something to keep in mind when we get to bold predictions on Friday for Ohio State and Texas specifically. Like, the defenses are going to be ahead of the offenses in both cases. And it took a little while for both Iowa State and Kansas State to find their footing in that regard, literally in some cases. But that's what week one looks like. It is difficult to get ready to go out and perform at a high level.
Yeah, it's like you're not used to somebody, you know, you can do contact drills in practice. You can actually do full tackling in practice, but you're still not getting hit by somebody who wants to hurt you. And I think that you notice the difference early in those games of guys just not being ready for the football. The way that you have to secure the football when another team hits you, as opposed to when your own team is hitting you. Quarterback play, very sloppy because you just don't know what you're going to see out of defenses yet. You know, and you watch in that Kansas State Iowa State game, and that's two of the better returning quarterbacks in the country. And they both look like freshmen for large portions of the game. So, an interesting reminder without question, but it's here. It's game week. Roosters, you know, this morning for us, it feels like we're back to yeah. Basics. Let's do it.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear us talk about Iowa State and Kansas State, and we haven't done season long bold peas yet for Ohio State. So today is the time for that. And we'll get more into the matchup as the week goes along, of course, including at Roosters with a fun casual conversation with Bobby Carpenter and Justin Zwick later on today. That will be on the Austin and Berm Show feed, wherever you get it, 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel, 10TV, 10TV Plus, or if you want to download the audio only version, anywhere you get podcasts. That will be out later today. We're very excited for that, but we're also pumped to get into bold predictions for the season. All right, as again,
you should start. I'm going to give it, I think, as last year's winner.
What?
Clearly, excuse me. As last year's winner, I am allowing you to go first. So I'm being gracious, and I hope that you appreciate my graciousness. But you may lead off. And what a shock! I see Brandon in this. I'm actually surprised you didn't ask me to create some sort of Photoshop that morphed Brandon Ennis and Mylon Graham into one wide receiver.
I'm much more confident and feel strongly that I can boldly predict numbers for Brandon Ennis more so than I can for Mylon Graham. I think lost sometimes in the Jeremiah Smith hysteria, which is well deserved and well earned, and probably going to come up later on in the show with JJ's numbers. We talked about it on Friday in the mailbag as well. Is that all that attention means the football is going to have to go somewhere else. As good as he is, offensive MVP, best player in college football, Jeremiah Smith, there are going to be times that he is limited. And Ohio State, Julian Sain is going to need to go where he has winnable matchups. And I think that the majority of those are going to go Brandon Ennis's way. It's not a slight on Carnell Tate. I think he's going to demand some attention as well at times. We've talked about that and the value for this offense. But if I am correct that Brandon Ennis is ready to do all of the Emeka Ebuka style things on and off the field, then the number of receptions are going to go his way as well. I think he's going to lead Ohio State in catches, just like Emeka did last year. Emeka finished with 81. Jeremiah finished with 76. Both good. That's a lot of footballs to go around. I kind of think that Brandon Ennis might finish with more than 81, if I'm being honest with you. But I don't know.
I wondered how bold you were going to go when you asked me to put Brandon Ennis on a graphic. I was curious exactly how bold you would go.
Yeah, I think he's going to lead Ohio State in catches. I think he's going to surpass Emeka Ebuka's production this year, which, again, may be a crazy thing to say. And it probably is a crazy thing to say because Emeka Ebuka is already showing up in NFL training camps. And everyone's like, huh.
He's already the third best receiver in the NFL.
Did you guys know how good this guy was?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he is that good. But Brandon Ennis is going to be an X factor, a game changer, a lethal weapon for Ohio State. So give me 85 catches for Brandon Ennis to lead Ohio State.
This is a season that will be brought up later in the show. So I figure I'll just bring it up now because I'm looking at what regularly in the last couple of weeks, I've made the comparison between the CJ Stroud in 2021 and Julian Sain and what I expect. In 2021, the third leading receiver at Ohio State had 65 catches in Chris Olave. Okay. The second was 70 with Garrett Wilson and 95 for Jackson Smith and Jigba to lead the team, which was a school record. So are you suggesting, which is a school record, 95 catches? Are you not willing to push Brandon Ennis to that 95 or break it number?
I'm not to that point. I might recalculate and recalibrate by the midseason bold piece, but as of right now, because I think the difference between the way that offense was constructed with like the most ridiculous array of receivers, arguably that you're going to find, there's a chance that this one could elevate, but you know, 2021, there was a future Heisman Trophy finalist who was just on the bench, like chilling. So
it's also, and the school's all-time leader in receptions in Emeka Ebuka. It's a reminder though, like that season it is, and as much while we're on this bold prediction show, as much as we've talked about Max Clair and the potential for numbers for him that year in 2021, Jeremy Ruckert finished fifth on Ohio State in receptions, with 26, which is a fairly healthy number for an Ohio State tight end. And he trailed Travion Henderson as a true freshman tailback with 27. So, that offense was built in a way that was much different. And Ohio State had essentially like abandoned the running game.
Yeah, couldn't run. At
so,
and I don't think that will be the case for this version of the Ohio State offense. In fact, if they can't run the football, then all these other things are going to become a lot more difficult for Julian Sain, for Brandon Ennis, for Jeremiah Smith. They're going to have to run the football, and they're going to have to use the tight end. And I think that they'll definitely use that more than Jeremy Ruckert. So that's why I don't think I'm going to go as far as a school record for Brandon Ennis. He's just going to be 10 catches shy.
All right, fair enough. So you're giving him 85 catches to lead the team. Okay. Jalen McClain is going to lead this team in interceptions this season for Ohio State. I know that seems maybe a little meh, a little blasé, a little vanilla. It might be. I was looking up the school record for interceptions in a season is 9. Nobody has been close to that in a long time, really. I'm not thinking that Jalen's going to get that way, but I'm going to give him 6 interceptions this season to lead the team. I think Jalen McClain is going to be a household name by the end of this season in a way that people are not going to expect. And it's not even to suggest that like he's going to get all the reps over Malik Hartford. I think that they're both going to play an equal number of reps. A lot of times they're going to be on the field together. I just think that Jalen McClain is going to find himself in a position to make plays more often than not, because teams are going to try to go away from Caleb Downs. And I think he's the type of dude to take advantage of it. So first season as a starter, redshirt sophomore season or redshirt freshman season or second, I don't know how they count eligibility anymore. Doesn't matter. 6 interceptions to lead the Ohio State defense and to put himself in an All-American type season.
All-American type season. Holy cow.
If Jalen McClain gets 6 picks to lead Ohio State in interceptions, he's going to be talked about as an All-American.
Yeah, it'll be tough for them to put 2 Ohio State safeties on the All-American team.
True, but, you know, may as well, especially after Michael Taffey at Texas gives up 1,400 yards and 30,000 catches on Saturday.
Oh, that's a lot.
Wow, that's a lot more than you're used to.
It's a real stinker.
The real stinker of a game.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I was curious and going to ask you about that, about what you thought that meant for the workload for Malik Hartford, but we've touched on that a lot. Like, it's going to be week to week, game to game, series to series at times for Ohio State. So you feel confident that both are going to play, but you like the upside here more for Jalen McClain.
I like the fact that the ball seems like it's going to have to go away from where Caleb Downs is, and I don't see Caleb and Jalen often on the same side of the field. So that's what I'm – that's really why it's built that way. Also, I just think Jalen is a kid that has a nose for the football. So.
All right. I have a second bold prediction for you. It is
what's it about? Is it about defense?
It is about defense. I have to switch over there. Started on offense. Got to alternate. Perhaps it doesn't qualify as a bold P to say that Kenyatta Jackson is going to lead Ohio State in sacks.
Someone has to lead the team.
I would concede that point. He's probably the most obvious choice here. He is drawing some first-round NFL draft buzz. He has spent 3+ years developing physically. He is one of the most imposing specimens that you're going to see on Ohio State's roster. And the production that he showed in the playoff was a pretty clear indication to me that he is ready for a full-time role or has the potential to be dangerous when he gets that opportunity. We'll see. As Larry Johnson has said repeatedly, there's a big difference between getting 20, 25, 30 snaps and having to play as often and as consistently and produce at the level that Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau did a year ago. But
are you a player or are you a pro?
That's the question, isn't it? Get used to hearing it. I think Kenyatta Jackson is absolutely going to be a pro. I think the way his offseason has gone has shown that he's a pro. And I think he's going to finish this season, not just as the leader for Ohio State, but I believe he's going to have 17 sacks for Ohio State.
Well, that would break a school record.
Oh, so would it?
That would be a lot. 17 sacks in, how many games is he going to play? That's the question.
I think they're going to play 16 games.
16 games, 17 sacks. You started off by saying, I'm not sure if this qualifies as bold. And then you predict him to have the greatest season that that any defensive end has ever had at Ohio State.
Well,
including Chase.
I thought that there was I wanted to preface it by saying, I'm going to have to add to the spice level. You got to put a little spice in the pepper. Thing he's going to lead the team is not enough. So
I'm going to get.
And it's called a drill down, Berm.
Okay, here's the deal. Again, as the gracious winner of the 2024 edition of Bold Predictions, I'm going to grant you some opportunities here for success. If Kenyatta Jackson finishes in the top 5 of a single season all sack record at Ohio State, so that means he has to get 12 or more, I will consider this a correct BP.
That's no problem. Like, he's going to have that in the regular season.
Okay. I mean, do what you got, man. I'm just saying 12 or more would put him as a top 5 season of all time at Ohio State. Chase Young, 16 and a half in 2019. Vernon Golston in 2007 at 14. Joey Bosa, 13 and a half in 2014 as a first-time starter. 1995, Mike Vrabel with 13. 1996, Andy Katzenmoyer with 12. Of course, 4 of those guys are defensive ends. 1 is a middle linebacker. So this is a different world.
Here's the thing. You look at the potential for production for Kenyatta Jackson just in the first month alone, and I don't feel like that it's going to be that difficult for him to get to this point. You have a rebuilt Texas offensive line, which apparently nobody cares about outside of maybe Columbus or this show, at least as a talking point. And then is someone on Grambling? He's probably going to play like 3 drives, but... Yeah. Do they have anyone who could even lay a finger on Kenyatta Jackson? I sort of doubt that. Ohio, another very winnable matchup. Washington, not exactly the best pass-protecting team in the country.
Like, Ohio is a very winnable matchup. I agree.
Yeah. For Kenyatta Jackson, like, the first month of the season is all situations where he should be thriving and piling up stats early on. So,
wouldn't it be great if our bold prediction shows were like, Ohio State versus Ohio. It's a winnable matchup. Folks, we think Ohio State might be able to top Grambling this year.
It wouldn't be very informative or entertaining because Ohio State is favored in every single game that they play.
Man, there are teams out there. There are people out there who do our job covering other teams that have to be like, well, we think we can beat Ohio. You know what I mean? Like, that's wild to me. Can you, you just are like, well, guys, this is a big game. We think.
If you cover, if you cover Maryland and it's like, all right, find the winnable matchups this year for Mike Loxley. No, I can't. Maybe Ohio.
I mean, I say that somewhat jokingly, but what a luxury we have to cover this team that wins 90% of its games. And
I guess I should have used Rutgers, right? Don't they actually play each other?
Yeah. Okay, so you're predicting nothing big, just a single season sack record for Kenyatta Jacks.
It's called bold predictions, okay? It's not.
No, I mean, I appreciate
it. Is there a winnable matchup for Ohio State on the schedule?
I appreciate that you boldened it up.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Put a little spice on it.
I'm going to go back to that 2021 season. And again, this is not an apples to apples comparison because this is not year one for James Peoples. But this is kind of a combination of everything joining together. I think James Peoples is going to have more yards and more touchdowns this season running the football than Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson did individually last year, not combined. That would be crazy. But I go back to that 2021 season and I look at Travion Henderson's statistics. And again, this is now apparently what I've fallen in love with is this idea that this offense is going to be 2021-ish. And that year, Travion Henderson had 1,250 yards and 15 touchdowns. On my bold predictions, my sheet where I wrote down these BPs so that I could...
You did not do that.
I swear I did. I would show you. I didn't write it down. I did type it. I did clickety-clackety. So last year, Quinshon had 1,060. Travion had 1,016. So my prediction officially says James Peoples 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns in this season, which, again, I don't know that that's bold necessarily. It's only 100 yards a game. You know, that's a winnable matchup. Because I'm talking about, I don't know how many games they're going to play. So that's it. This could be, you know, 80 yards a game, or it could be 12 or 100 yards a game. It could be, who knows? So either way, I think James Peoples at some point in this season is going to run away as the bell cow, the every down back for this team. And I think that he will end up having a really, really productive year, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns as a running back, but it's the 27 catches for 300 yards and four touchdowns that Travion had in 2021 that catch my eye. I think James Peoples will finish with 25 catches this year also. So I'm expecting a pretty involved year out of the running backs. And I think eventually his combination of speed and size and the ability to catch the ball will win out, and he'll start taking over as the primary guy.
I feel like you should know what the per game production is for these guys. Don't you have a bold P for what Ohio State's record is going to be and how many games they're going to play?
Mm-mm. No, you didn't tell me we were doing that.
Well, I just, when you were figuring it out and you were typing on your screen.
I did not do that. No, on our written version of bold predictions, a season long prediction over Letterman Row, I said that the Buckeyes would be 10-2 in the regular season and make the college football playoff. But what happens from there, I don't have a roadmap for.
Well, nobody does, but that's why they're called bold predictions.
Oh, people do. How do you think Heather Dinich knows so much?
Probably because of the All-State Predicolator that she's got. I don't know.
Wait, is it called a Predicolator?
No, that's just what Brandon Beam and I call it on the Buckeye Show.
I like that a lot better than predict the later.
I don't know. But it is sponsored by Allstate. That's very important.
That is crazy. Allstate, bro, if you wanted to sponsor some weird stuff, I'll create some sort of metric. Predicolator? Yeah. I'll create a metric you can sponsor.
The Bermulator.
The Manning ratio. You know, we talked about it last week.
That's trademarked.
Yeah.
Well, bold prediction number three for me ties into a record. It ties into an award that Ohio State coaches seem to be ineligible to win. But I think perhaps Ryan Day can and should and will be a deserving winner of the Big Ten Coach of the Year and the National Coach of the Year, because I believe that the national title defense, the attacking of it, is going to lead to wins in all of the biggest games in the regular season for Ohio State. They are going to open with a win against Texas. They are going to beat Penn State. And I guess potentially most important for Ryan Day in winning some of these awards and adding one final necessary piece to the resume, he will win in the Big House in late November. I do not believe that the Buckeyes are going to go undefeated in the regular season. I look at this road stretch at 3 out of 4 games at Washington, at Illinois, at Wisconsin, and it feels like there's going to be...
Then at Purdue. Don't forget at Purdue just a couple weeks later.
I'm going to forget Purdue. This is a tough road schedule, man.
Like, this is a tough road schedule. Like, you think about the last dozen years. When has there been... There's not a single... I don't expect Ohio State will lose to Purdue. I think that's a winnable game.
Right? It's a winnable matchup.
But you have to go to Wisconsin, to Illinois, to Washington, to Michigan. Like, that. This is a... Boy, I'm glad Ohio State won the national championship 8 months ago, is all I'm saying.
Because they didn't get any favors here. Yeah, I think, look, Wisconsin, on paper, that is an incredibly winnable matchup for Ohio State. And by the way, again, it gets to this point where the Buckeyes are favored already in all the games that I mentioned. They're favored to beat Texas. They're favored to beat Penn State. They're favored to beat Michigan. They're favored to beat everyone on their schedule.
I just don't know how you can make someone a preseason number one if they're an underdog in the season opener. It just doesn't make sense to me. This is why preseason polls are
Manning stupid. Ratio. You're ignoring it. You have to give them bonus points for that. They have a Manning. Okay.
All right.
Are you forgetting that? You are the one that trademarked it.
What award is Ryan Day going to win?
National Coach of the Year, Big Ten Coach of the Year. I think he's going to get them all. I think it will be like a career achievement, a reflection of winning a national championship and then erasing all of the skepticism about whether or not he can win again in the game. Because I think he's going to do that, and then people will give him the flowers that he, I think, richly deserves. And I think that Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten as well. I don't know what's going to happen in the playoff. It is, as you said, there's no roadmap. You don't know what the matchups are. We don't know what the health is. That's way down the road. I think there are the two most talented teams in the country are going to play on Saturday. We can maybe factor in Georgia and Alabama with the blue chip ratio there. I don't know what that's going to look like. And it almost feels like we have to take them based on what we know, which is the path in the Big Ten. And then we can reevaluate what the postseason might look like when it gets there. But I think Ohio State is clearly the best team in the Big Ten. I think that they are going to be ready for the talent equated matchup games. And if they drop one along the way, it is not the end of the world. We've already seen that happened for Ohio State. We've seen them drop two and then still regroup and rebound for that postseason. But I don't think that two losses are in the cards for this team, personally.
I hope you're right. I just wish that everyone played the same schedule. You know, like, that's ultimately...
Well, the SEC is finally getting to that point with 9 conference games.
No, I mean, even in the Big Ten, like, if you think about Oregon's schedule compared to Ohio State's schedule, if you think about... You know, what these teams have to go, what Penn State schedule is compared to Ohio State schedule. I just think that it'd be nice if there was, can we just get back to the days when the Big Ten had 10 teams and everyone played everyone and that was it? Mm. That's all.
That's all you want?
Is it too much to ask?
Probably. Oh. So I think the cat's out of the bag on that one. All right. So that's where I'm
going. Jeremiah Smith's pretty good. Let's be honest.
Wow. Okay.
That's it.
Is that it?
But no. So again, I keep going back to this 2021 season. I do think with 8 catches a game, Jeremiah Smith is going to break Ohio State's single season catch record. I think he's going to finish with 96. Let's cut it this way. How many targets a game do you think Jeremiah Smith's going to get?
11.
So 11 catches, if he gets 8 ball, catches 8 balls a game, what's our percentage there? So 70% or so, 67%, 60s, 70s. I don't know, not about math.
You were really prepared for this, Jeremiah Bolton.
What I am about is output, but he's also not only going to lead the team with catches, 96 catches, 8 catches per game. He will break the school's single season record for touchdowns in a season by a receiver as well. He will get 18. Again, this is regular season ball. Whatever happens after that, these numbers can get stretched into the atmosphere. He is not going to break the yardage record. I think that this is going to be a season where he's going to be counted on to do a lot of slants and digs and curls and try to just it's third and seven. We need to move the ball. Throw it to Jeremiah for 8 yards. I think that that's going to be the type of offense.
Third and Jeremiah got another shout out from Ryan Day last week.
I know. I saw that. That was nice. We're working on coining that one. I just think that the offense, there's going to be certainly times when teams try to double and triple him, but he's just too good. So he's going to break two school records with yardage. I'm sorry, with touchdowns and receptions in the 2021 from the 2021 season where he passed the Jackson Smith and Jigba. And then Terry Glenn was 1995 with the 17 touchdown catches. The single greatest season of a receiver I've ever seen, which includes 2021 Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was awesome, but Terry was a freak.
You did say that you would shout out any season bold peas that we got from the audience. And we did get one that ties directly into your Jeremiah Smith bold prediction. It comes from Matt P. And he said, Jeremiah Smith will lead the wide receivers in touchdowns, but not yards. So there's no hiding number four for the Buckeyes. But after the most impressive freshman season in program history, opposing defensive coordinators have no choice but to devote extra hours coming up with a solution to keep Smith in check. Where one door closes, another four open with this program. Carnell Tate will end the season with the most receiving yards, but goal line fades live forever. And that's where JJ gets a bulk of his touchdowns. And then he signed it off with Go Milk. So he must be a big dairy fan. I don't know.
Good old Matty P. How's he doing?
Pretty descriptive there. There are multiple bold P's tied into one with Carnell Tate there.
It's almost like he lived this life for a minute. Well, thanks, Matt. We appreciate that. And Go Milks as well. I don't know, man. Look, when you think about JJ, I mean, again, you're talking about Brandon Ennis having 85 catches. In your scenario of 85 catches for Brandon Ennis leading the team, does JJ still lead in yards and touchdowns? How many catches does JJ have in your world?
I think by the end of the year, his line is going to look very similar to last season. And we used the cutoff of 1,300 yards, I think, on Friday.
Yeah.
I think that's over. I mean, as a reminder, he had 76 catches for 1,315 yards and 15 touchdowns a year ago. That is absolutely nothing to sneeze at. And if he accomplishes that, given double and triple coverage attention his way, which he was getting increasingly as the season went on last year, like, that's a reminder of just how freaking good he is. That if he got one-on-one coverage all year long, he'd be like, yeah, that's going to be 2,000 yards and 25 touchdowns, and everyone needs to get the hell out of the way.
But at some point, don't the defenses that they're playing against, they're going to have to go back to being somewhat normal? Because in your scenario, if Brandon Ennis is getting 10 catches a game and Carnell Tate's getting 6 or 7 a game, like, how do you continue to, you can't continue to live that way, right? Like, at some point you have to try to, you can't cover Brandon Ennis with a linebacker. So how are you going to do that?
I think defensive coordinators by and large are going to be willing to sit on top of Jeremiah Smith and take away the deep shot and force Ohio State to go down the field. And if they want to do it with 5 or 6 completions to Ennis or Max Clair and take their time and hope that maybe a pass rush gets there or a ball gets deflected, like, so be it. I think that that's the choice, because if you decide to play straight up against Ohio State, then that drive can be over in one play with a deep ball to Jeremiah Smith. So I think there will be teams that are like, let's take our chances here. Let's see if we can play this kind of game with them. But hope is not a strategy. And there's not enough. There's no one in college football that can cover him one-on-one, like, nobody. So I think it would be foolish for any team to be like, oh gosh, you know what? We just see Brandon Ennis getting 7, 8 catches a game. We got to take that away. No, you don't. Like, there's poison on both sides here. Which one do you want? Slow death or instant death?
I prefer instant.
Okay.
But okay, so let's do some quick hitters. You obviously already know that I believe James Peoples leads the team in rushing yards. Do you agree with that or no?
I believe it'll be C.J. Donaldson.
How many touchdowns will Carnell Tate score?
7.
41.5 over under Max Clair receptions.
Over.
That would be more than Cade Stover had in 2023 when he was a Mackey, the finalist. Which linebacker ends up in the Butkus Award, photo at the end of the year, holding
holding it? I think Sonny has a built-in advantage of name recognition, and I think Sonny probably will not finish the season as the most productive on paper linebacker for Ohio State. But just like he had an advantage over Cody Simon in name recognition a year ago, he'll benefit from that again against Arvell.
Will Caleb Downs be the first defensive player selected in next year's NFL draft?
Probably not. I don't think that the NFL values that position to the level that he should be. I don't think he will be.
What number of first-round draft picks will Ohio State have in next year's NFL draft?
Probably going to be three.
Three, that's correct. Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, Max Clair. Which Ohio State punter will be punting the ball against Texas, Nick McClarty or Joe McGuire?
I believe it'll be Joey McGuire.
Okay. Sounds like we figured it all out.
All right. Was I supposed to get some rapid fire questions for you?
Nope. Nope. I just like to
throw. Do we agree on all of those, or did you?
I tend to think we do. Here's another one. Will Ohio State return a kickoff for a touchdown this season? It has now been, this is heading into year 15.
No, of course not.
No kickoff return.
I don't even, like, somebody asked about that the other day. It was like, I just don't think Ohio State cares about it. Like, they put an emphasis on punt return and they got results last year. I think that that's the part of the game where they spend the least amount of attention and concern. If they start on the 25 every time, they're more than happy to do so. Their offense is the difference maker for them and not the special teams return game. And I think that they have come to terms with that. I don't know who it's even going to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't really, it's just something we never ask about or pay attention to because it just doesn't matter. Like you said, as long as Ohio State's starting the ball at the 25 or 30 yard line, they think they're going to score a touchdown 80% of the time. So it doesn't really matter. Like, you're better off just catching it and starting at the 25 than trying to return it and getting hit or fumbling or losing the ball at the 10 or getting a stupid penalty that starts you inside of the,
it's like the old coaching cliche and about you can throw the ball and three things can happen. That's the same thing with Ohio State and a kickoff return. Like, just don't do it. It's not necessary. That's the way of college football now. And it has the Buckeyes in a position to have 12 winnable matchups in the regular season. How about that? The kind of analysis that you can only get on the beat. The Austin and Berm show ramping up all week long for Ohio State and Texas. Thank God it is finally here. We'll have a fun casual conversation at Roosters later on Monday and talking Tuesday on the way to get ready for Ryan Day's game week press conference. I'll chat with Adam King for that. So stick around. All the game week coverage is finally here. Ride with us all week long at 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus. And if you want to download the audio only, wherever you get podcasts, that platform you can use to find it. Thanks so much for joining us here to get this week started on a Monday with some season-long bold predictions for the Buckeyes. We'll talk to you later.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then in another clash of undefeated teams, Earl Clark and Coach Steven Jackson lead the DMV Trilogy against Montrezl Harrell, Coach Dr. J, and the Chicago Triplets. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays Monday on BET. Presented by iHeart. Yay, yay, yay.